to the Amish Voice conference call. We'll begin with prayer. Father, thank you for this evening and the time together where we can seek you. Teach us more about prayer. Guide us with how the technology works and the echo we can hear, and yet how we can be more like Jesus, what we can learn from prayer and talking with you and being with you. So guide us and teach us, and may we live fully for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yeah, so when you think of men and women in prayer, are there certain people you think of? People in your family or church or throughout history? Anybody you can think of?
I think of a lady that used to get up in the morning and pray for a whole list of missionaries. So I was saying that there was a lady, she doesn't live anymore, but she used to get up in the morning and she used to pray for a whole bunch of missionaries every single day by name. And I always looked at her as probably one of the greatest prayer warriors I ever knew. It seems to me that it seems to me like there are women that are really do very well at praying. I don't know. I'm sure there are men too, but for the most part, I would say the women tend to be the prayer warriors.
Yeah, and we hear lots of stories throughout history of children growing up unsaved and they become Christians because they say that because of the prayers of their mother, thinking of their mother praying for them every day, even as they're out sinning. So we'll probably hear a lot in heaven about mothers and others in heaven because of those praying moms.
Yeah, but I think it's a great, great question, Paul. I mean, I would love to hear from others. Who do you look up to as a prayer warrior in your life? Let's talk about those people. I mean, those are very precious people. And, you know, oftentimes they're not out there on stage where everybody hears them or everybody sees them or everybody's reminded that they play a big part in the kingdom. These are usually people that are kind of, you know, at home in the wee hours of the morning crying out to God. They are truly the warriors of Christianity. And I would love to talk and hear some of you describe some of those people in your life that have really brought heaven down.
Well, I had an experience this weekend that was pretty outstanding. Russell and I, this is our weekend that we celebrated our 47th wedding anniversary. So we were out to eat, and there was a group of folks that came in. Oh, it was probably 10 people around that table, and they reached out and just prayed. And then I heard him say, oh, I forgot to pray for so-and-so, and they prayed again. And so on our way out, I just went over and just told them that I appreciated so much hearing them pray. And we're born again Christians, and it was just really nice. But Russell was having a difficult time moving, and so he, one of the young ladies helped us get outside, and she said, I'm a prayer warrior. I just like to pray with you. And it was just so refreshing, you know, so she just, you know, reached out and prayed for us, and it was lovely.
Amen.
Yeah, and I know for me, I would remember my dad when I would get up early in the morning, 4 o'clock, and he'd already be up on his knees praying by his chair, and he didn't express a lot of emotion or give us a lot of answers when we asked him for biblical advice, because he wouldn't just pray for us, tell us to go to God and trust him, and we knew that he always prayed for us. Hey, anybody else have people they know? Are there people that you've heard pray that you know they act like they're actually talking to God, like they know who they're talking to? Sometimes we just read a prayer list to God, but then every once in a while you hear somebody that seems like they're actually friends with God.
Yeah, we have a man in our church, and he comes from a family that never had much of anything, but he started working at the Wendy's here in Ashland, and I don't know what he did, but he just got hired in as a young teenage boy, and over time he bought his own Wendy's store. And today I think he owns about right around 30 Wendy's, okay? So he's worth millions and millions of dollars. I love to hear the man pray. I don't know of anybody that when he begins to pray, you feel the presence of power or of God coming down into the room. He has a way of praying and taking authority over the evil one that I've hardly ever heard other people pray. But if I were to, you know, if I were to think of a man or a person that really, really, you feel it when he prays, it would be Zane Groth.
Anybody else have anyone? So why are church prayer meetings some of the most poorly attended meetings of church? Or if you ask, let's pray together, it's awkward for Christians. We don't often, we can meet with other Christians and talk about the weather or sports or politics, but when you say let's pray, sometimes it seems like there's a lot of awkwardness and we don't really want to. Or when a Sunday school teacher or somebody says, who will pray for us? Everybody looks down and hopes they don't get called on. Why do you think that is? Why isn't it a privilege to go to God? Why don't we all raise our hands and want to be the one that gets the opportunity to represent everybody before God?
I don't think that I could answer that question at all because I don't feel that way and I don't understand that feeling.
Well, that's good.
You know, the scripture tells us to pray without ceasing. There's just, prayer is such a handy thing and is such a wonderful tool. And I just think it's such an enjoyable thing that we get to do.
Yeah. So who are some people in the Bible that you think of who are known for their prayers?
I think the first
one.
Can
I answer your other question? Or,
yeah.
Or can I try to answer it? Maybe that would be better.
Sure, go ahead.
I believe one thing that people are hesitant to pray in public, pray in church, in prayer meetings, especially coming from our background, we have always been taught, we kind of believe that prayer is sacred, it's holy, it's not something we, you know, it's something we do in our closet, and there's something really inhibiting about us, you know, speaking out or praying out in front of other people. I know it was something that I had to go through, and once I understood what prayer really was, you know, it was not just pleading with God or, you know, trying to make a demand upon God or whatever, but, you know, Hebrews, what is it, maybe chapter 10 or along in there, where we are now, we now believe that the way to the throne room of God is opened by Jesus, and in Jesus' name we can go right into the throne room of God and just talk to Him. We don't have to have a special pious language. We don't have to have a special way of talking. We don't have to have a you know, I'm thinking of Amish Church, of course, but we don't have to have a special a chant or, you know, that thing we all go into and what we always thought prayer was. It's not that. It's us heart-to-heart talking with God. And for a lot of us, it was for years hard to break out in prayer, especially if somebody hurt us. Or, you know, I believe that's part of it. But come over that, you know. We have to get over that. As we grow in God, grow in the Spirit, and if somebody says, can you pray for me? Hey, you don't have to look around and see who's listening. But the human nature is to, oh, well, let's go over here. It's more private. I understand that, but we shouldn't, you know, that shouldn't bother us. We should be able to pray wherever we are. And that may answer your question a little bit.
Yeah, and I would just like to go back to, and I appreciate what you said, Lester. I think, though, in addition to what you shared, when someone does call out for a prayer meeting, I'm thinking of the church. From my experience, it is one of the least attended meetings that are ever called out. Why is that?
I guess I was just listening tonight to on a sermon today, and I guess what I'd say is we're not taught that, and we don't understand that God said, Jesus said, my house shall be a house of prayer. We don't come together to pray for the needs of the church. And he just was explaining, they have a Tuesday night prayer. They have the biggest prayer group in any church that they know of. And they have he just brought it out, how it is we need to come together and have a corporate prayer at church. But I know for myself, I'm weak on that part too. And it's like it was explained from where we come from. We were what we were taught. But I know it just encouraged me to try to go forward in prayer more and with others wherever we're at.
Yeah. And in the Bible, as you know, Jesus taught, we shouldn't pray to be seen by others or to be seen as religious. And he told us to go pray as if we were in a closet. And yet, it's the same as if we're in a group of Christians, where the Christians don't need to go out and publicly declare that they're praying. But as a group, often in the Bible, they would pray as Christians together, united, seeking God. Solomon prayed for all Israel. They prayed when Peter was in prison. Jesus prayed with the disciples and taught them how to pray. And when you get with people that love God and pray, it should be a special thing. That's what I've heard too about the prayer meeting is church attendance shows the popularity of the pastor, but the prayer meeting shows the popularity of God.
And I know I've been in Africa, and I know this one mentioned about it, China. Most of them places have every morning or every night the men get together and have a prayer time. And there are some of them places, their life is on the line for even attending church and prayer. So that's where we're at in this country. We have our house become the least part of church. And prayer is what really brings forth the words and everything and the strength of a nation.
Yeah, go ahead, Paul.
No, go ahead. I was just going to say that I think that a lot of it is, at least some of the American Christianity, is we're so busy we don't have time for God, and we think we can get it done without Him. So
right.
We don't go to God for help because we don't think we need Him. And in some of those other countries, they know they need Him, so they have to pray.
Yeah, I just want to say, just in sitting here talking, and I really appreciate all the people that are on the line tonight. I think it's a very powerful topic, and when we start talking about prayer, it just does something to me. I feel like this burden come over me. It's not a bad burden. It's a burden that just cries out to God, people, and says, we have got to stop running and running and running and doing ministry. We've got to stop. We've got to get on our knees. And I think we feel that. I really do. I think that's why so many people have called in tonight, is because deep down in our soul, we realize that we're in trouble. We're in trouble as a country and as a community, as churches. Lord Jesus, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
We're not going too fast, very, you know, it's all around us. And I think people are starting to realize that we've got to get back to God. We've got to stop doing it on our own. And that's the kind of burden I feel tonight. It's just I'm encouraged. I guess I'm encouraged to know that so many people are on. I'd love to hear, though, from more people. Really, seriously, what is prayer to you? Is it hard? Is it hard for you to pray? Is it hard for you to go to a prayer meeting if there is one in town? What would you suggest? If we want to see revival, how important is prayer? Those are the things that are just burning in my soul.
Yeah, so and it's not all just in words. It is also even in tears and the posture of our heart. If you guys have explained it to us. It's the posture and how we come before God. It's no different than like they train for doing basketball or any other game. They train to be in a certain posture. So we have trained ourselves that our heart connects with the Lord. And at times, just when we really get connected with the Lord, it's just tears even flow. Those are even prayers. It's our connection with God, and to get closer to Him. Again, you know, sitting, kneeling, or however it is, we can be crying out to God.
Yes, amen.
This is Arlen, and I think part of, for me, I don't have the eyes to see the power. You know, I feel like I don't have the eyes to see the power of God in prayer. And I think that it kind of limits, you know, you're trying to pray, and it's kind of difficult. I mean, there's power there, absolutely there's power there, but it's just hard to see it in our finite way of looking at things, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, and I appreciate that honesty, Arlen. I think maybe that is one of the reasons that it is so difficult for people to go to prayer meetings, is because, you know, okay, we might be praying for 40 years. You know, our passion and burden tonight that we've been praying about for the last 15 years, we could be praying for another 20 more years. And it takes commitment and continued faithfulness to keep on keeping on and not knowing when it will be answered.
Right.
I like to begin my prayer with just adoration. And when I can come into God's presence and just praise Him for who He is and the many aspects of His greatness, His almighty power, His belovedness, just the it opens the door to me that I can go in and my burdens, my requests become less heavy, because that I can make Jesus the Lord over those things. And for me, it just makes prayer so much more of a rejoicing time. It also builds my faith. I think that lots of times our prayerlessness comes because we are so self-sufficient, and we have so much of the world's goods, we really don't know how desperate we are and how desperately we need God and His grace and His help.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my.
Yeah, I think we're used to doing things ourselves, and we don't have the dependence upon God that we can see in others. I mean, even we have stuff to do, so we get up and we have to do it. We don't have time for God because we have to get things done. And I mean, Isaiah 30:15 says, "For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength." And you would not. God tells us to get back to Him. Go back and rest in Him. Jesus tells us to abide in Him, to rest in the vine, to abide in the vine. We see Jesus gets up a great while before day and prays, and He stays up all night and prays. Not because He had to, He wanted to. There was a time Martin Luther used to spend, you know, get up every morning and read a few chapters of the Bible and pray. And there was one day he was going to be real busy. It might have been the day he was going to be on trial. And his friend said, "You don't have time to pray tomorrow, do you?" And he said, "I have so much to do tomorrow that I have to get up earlier and pray." Because he knew he couldn't get things done without taking them to God.
Mm-hmm. And another thing is, a lot of our problem might be is ungratefulness. We don't thank, for myself, I don't thank the Lord enough and praise Him enough for what I do have.
Mm.
So we become ungrateful.
Yeah.
The things we saw come before Him with a thankful heart and a grateful heart for what we have, and praise Him for what He has done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was talking about that today with my family, where how many times I've heard people pray, and at the end of their prayer they say, "And for all these things we'll thank You and praise You." And yet I hardly ever hear anybody, when their prayer gets answered, thank God and praise Him. It's just something we say at the end of a prayer.
Right. Instead of beforehand.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that very much, Levi. I think that's so true. I've been really convicted in the last 6 months that we are not grateful enough. It's almost like we bow our heads and we immediately think that prayer is about asking. It's about me. It's about God stooping down and coming to my level and doing what I ask Him to do. And I was just really convicted just by some people that had walked into my life and challenged me. And boy, it was not easy for me to start out praising God. But I will tell you, it has a way of changing your life when you start praising God. And you know what? I mean, I get up some mornings and I think, okay, I have praised God for providing food for the last 6 months. Every day, get up. Thank You, Lord, for the food You gave us yesterday. Thank You for the clothing and the shelter and for the finances and the fact that we have health. And you know, but you know what? All it would take is for God to take that away from me for one day. And then, you know,
then we realize what we have.
Yes. Amen. Oh, my goodness. Yes.
and it could be taken away overnight.
Yes.
You know, there are some historical examples of prayer that are quite interesting. And I agree with a lot of what has been said tonight. And, you know, prayer, we, you know, probably all of us would say we never pray enough. But we should always have a prayerful attitude, you know, throughout the day. And don't ask me, you know, it's not something that comes easy, but that we're just ready to breathe a prayer at any given time. And I found that to be a great blessing. But I've been reading in back in 1904, 1905 was the greatest revival that Wales ever had. They call it the Welsh Revival, and I'm sure some of you have heard of that or have heard of that or read of that. It's tremendous. It was great. I mean, revival got so caught up in the hearts of people that churches were having services nonstop. And people, not enough people couldn't get in. You know, they wasn't home. And people were going to police stations to confess their sins because they couldn't get to church. And things like that. It's just all kinds of stories that are like, wow, we have such a, you know, that's what we need. But where did that all start? Supposedly, there were two older ladies. One was blind, and I forgot what the other one was. She was handicapped or something, couldn't get out. And they couldn't get to church very much, and they had a lot of trouble, but they did a lot of praying. They're just two old ladies prayed for years before the revival finally broke out. And that's been a very encouraging story and account for me to consider.
Amen. Wow.
Amen. You know, we should be praying for a revival for this nation, and not just this nation, this world today. We need revival like nothing. I mean, probably worse than we've ever needed it, if I can say that. And yet, some of us, and I'm not talking about us, but I'm saying, here we think, well, we can solve this problem by, you know, electing the next, a better president next time, you know, him or whatever, that will solve our problems. Well, sorry, it's not going to. Our problems are only solved in the presence of the Father. And we need to bring that before God. And that doesn't say that we shouldn't get involved with everyday things around us. We shouldn't do things. We must. We must be part of, you know, what's going on to help get the right things to be done. But again, only at the direction. You know, Jesus said he only did what he saw the Father do, and he only said what he heard the Father say. If we could come to that place in our life, I think that would make a tremendous difference in the things that we would get involved in.
Yeah, so I was thinking recently, one of the things that we have a lot of distractions. I know technology can be such a distraction. Like I know if you bring your phone long down, you know, like when you're, like I go to the basement, I have a little office set up in the basement, but it can, you know, like you take your phone long down and you're distracted. Like I sit in on meetings and there's people that are always on their phone doing stuff. And I was at one staff meeting one time. And I was doing paperwork. I thought, well, I have to do paperwork. I got to get caught up. And our financial guy was sitting beside me, and he was upset that I was sitting there with my computer doing paperwork while the staff meeting was going on. And he kind of told me that. And I tell you what, I never took my computer back into a staff meeting again, ever. And, you know, I think sometimes we need people to tell us or God to tell us, you know, hey, put away your other stuff. You know, I'm ready for you. So that really made an impact on me that I never took my computer back into the staff meeting.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Wow. Well, I do think that, you know, when I think of prayer, I think of the scripture that says, pray you the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers. And I've thought about that many, many times. If we don't pray, does that mean that God does not send forth laborers into the harvest? Jesus clearly said, Christian, it is your responsibility to go to the Father and call upon his name and ask him to send forth more laborers. That is our responsibility. But I'm just looking here at Hannah. When I think of prayer, I think of Hannah in the Old Testament. She's the one that couldn't have children in 1 Samuel chapter 1. It says in verse 5 that the Lord shut up her womb. And again in verse 6 it says, because the Lord had shut up her womb. Now, when I think of that, I think of God shut the door. Now,
if God shuts the door, how many people will it take to open that door? Can 1,000 people open the womb? Can the most educated doctors come together and somehow work it out and make it happen? And the answer is absolutely not. God closed it. But you know what? This little old lady refused to give in. She was all the time being mocked by the other woman in the family, and she refused to give in. And in verse 10 it says, and she was in bitterness of soul, and she prayed unto God. And it says she wept sore. That's what you said, Levi.
Yeah.
We need to get before God. We need to go down on our face before God and weep broken. And if we're not broken, maybe we should call out, and God, help us to be broken.
Right.
Help us to pray like Hannah did. And Hannah wouldn't give up. She refused to give up. And she even made a vow.
Right.
But what I like is in verse 19, and they rose up early in the morning, they worshiped before God and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So obviously it came to pass she bore Samuel. And then it says, I just love this because this is just how God is. In verse 22, and the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord yearly sacrifice and his vow. That's not the one. That's not. Hold on. Give me one second here. It's in verse 21. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bore 3 more sons and 2 more daughters. So she ended up having 5 more besides Samuel. And I tell you what, that prayer right there is what opened that womb up.
Right.
Now, if Hannah can do that, how about the rest of us?
I think we men have a harder problem coming into prayer and brokenness in a way than most women do. Because we're stronger and more self-sufficient than most women, but there's also women that are very stronger and self-sufficient more. But I think probably a woman that has, it's just easier, I think, to make that connection than it is for us men.
Hmm.
At least the way I've kind of seen it already.
Yeah.
But we men need to come before the Lord that way too.
Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering, you know, talking about Hannah, Paul, I don't mean to take it over, but boy, I tell you, this is a topic that I believe in. We have for the last 16 years, we've gotten together on Tuesday nights, a group of us, and all we do is pray. We break up in groups and just meet here at the house, and we just pray. We don't take a lot of prayer requests. We get together to pray. And it's very dear to me. I've also been probably more discouraged over prayer than anything else in my Christian life. I'm just being honest. As much as I believe in prayer, I've also gotten really, really discouraged because in the early years, I thought, man, you know what? We're going to start this ministry. It's going to be different. It's not going to be just like every other ministry. We are going to get together and we're going to pray heaven down and we're going to see revival. And wow, I probably, if I would have known then what I do now and the experiences that we've come through in the last 16 years, I probably wouldn't have never even went into the ministry because the battles are huge.
Right.
You know, and sometimes, you know, you almost want to blame God. You know, I prayed, Lord. Every Tuesday we get together to pray. And I'm just being totally my human side here. But then on the other hand, I know we've got to keep praying. It is the only thing that we have.
Yeah, and another thing that would probably be good is just have a time of, before we go in prayer, just have praise and worship some. Sing songs and pray praise to the Lord too. I think would probably be a good idea. I don't know how you all do it, but I think that, you know, just like you say, it's come before with a grateful and thankful and praise and worship.
Hmm. Wow, that's powerful.
There's a lot of songs. Even go through Psalms. I know there's a lot of Psalms that just really that bless me a lot to go through and thank the Lord with us.
So what are some prayers that you have seen answered? Maybe people have gotten healed. I mean, to me, that seems to be the ultimate answer to prayer, is for a person that may have had cancer or some other disease or illness that would have not been curable any other way but God. And you prayed and God answered, and that person was delivered from that illness.
For myself, I haven't really been connected with it, but I know different ones that have been, you know, that have been healed. So it's, and at times it's just a miracle on itself that people are healed. I've heard different ones talk about it, you know, those things, but I, you know, like personally, I haven't seen it myself happen yet. I have not been deeply enough involved with in circles like that. I've been was for a while, but that kind of circle kind of, we kind of ended, it kind of stopped. I know I've been thinking about it. We need to get another prayer circle started. But that, you know, healing, yeah, that's where we look at is for miracles like that. But it's, there's other things that we don't even recognize that get answered. We're looking at too many times, we're looking at the big things instead of seeing that we, for me anyway, that I miss the small things. And at times it takes consistent, prayer for years for it to take place, which that for one place in my back that I felt it for 30, I think it was 30 years or more that I, after I had it injured, was one evening that I was in a conference and all of a sudden I had about a 2-inch strip all the way across my back that I felt heat. And that spot that I had felt for like 30 some years, that healed that night.
Mm-hmm.
I was different times that it was at a conference like that, and I always just believed, you know, God's going to heal it, and that night he did. But then again, the enemy kind of always tries to have something else happen to make it worse again, but it's just worked out for the glory of the Lord, really, so.
I had cancer in the early 2000s, and it just seemed like, you know, like when I first heard about it, I was like, almost devastated. I couldn't figure out, you know, why God was doing this to me. And I don't know what prayer had to do with it, but it turned out that just at that time they came out with a new drug or a new treatment that, you know, I had like 3 rounds, and the last round he did like triple time, but it pretty much took it all away. And it just, I see the doctor now, yearly, and he said that, that drug is almost a miracle drug for the type of cancer that I had. It just came out just at that time. It was really amazing.
Wow.
Well, the thing that I've learned too is, you know, it's not always that you lay hands on somebody and they immediately get healed on the spot. Although that is very possible. I believe that, that can happen today just like it did in Jesus' day. But there are also other times when you pray and healing begins, but it may take a while. It may take a few days. It may take a few weeks or months. But either way, they're both miracles from God. And he may use a drug like he did in Arlen's life, or he may use just purely somebody laying hands on that person and praying, and God hears and restores that person's health.
Right.
I mean, that happened for us one time. I mean, you never forget it. When those things happen, you can never ever forget that, because it's so powerful. We had a man, he was Amish, came walking in here to our house on a Tuesday evening, and we were getting ready to pray, and he said, hey, my little brother, he died from cancer, and he said, I got it, and he said, the doctor's really only given me like 2 weeks, and he was so weak he could hardly walk up and sit in a chair. He was that weak. And, you know, there's about 8 or 10 of us gathered around that boy. He was just like 18 years old. We gathered around him, we laid hands on him, and we cried out to God. And you know what? That was about 6-7 years ago. That man is as alive today as ever. He is completely, totally healed. And he believed that it happened that night we prayed. And there was not one person that walked away and said, man, I have something others don't. We walked away and we said, God, you heard our prayer tonight. You restored this man back to health. And, you know, I should just add, we had a lady in our church that had cancer. I said, come on over here to this house.
We prayed before. We're going to pray again. We brought her over. We laid hands on her, and that lady is as alive today as ever. She's my adopted sister, and I, you know, she is completely convinced that prayer, that God healed her through prayer.
And I guess another thing I can share, I know for myself, I've had, through the time I was going through things, not knowing what's what, I got to where the Spirit of God was broken in me, and then I got bitter. And after that, I got deterioration of the hip. I had spurs, and the hip bone was honeycombing around there. And I knew that bitterness is rottenness to the bones. And I knew there's only one way it will even be any good to replace the hip in it. I knew I have to get right with God. I just set my mind I have to get right with God, and just followed that direction. And today, this is about 12 years later, I still have the same hip with very little problem at all. For 12, 13 years ago, it was where I figured I'd have to have hip surgery. So there are things at times that we have to get our heart right with God to be healed too.
Mm-hmm.
And I was back with the doctor. I seen that doctor last spring. I had broken the little bone in my foot. He asked me if I ever did hip surgery. I said, no, I still got the same hip. He was amazed because he had taken x-rays of it. And he had seen how it all was back in 2004, I think it was. So we at times have to realize the condition of our heart and soul and repent of our sins too to be healed.
You know, you bring up a good point there, and I think forgiveness and bitterness and, holding grudges against people or against God or against ourselves or whatever, you know, a lot of people do that unknowingly. Is, you know, they can't forgive themselves. And
right.
When we can't forgive people, and there's another word there that I'm missing, but, and hold those grudges, that can really hinder us, you know, let's just say our physical health more than we might imagine, and it also gets between us and God. You know, we have to be able to forgive others and forgive ourselves and to let God work. And we have seen here a number of times during our ministry here or our participation in the ministry where people have been prayed for and have walked away healed right on the spot. And also that, that doesn't always happen. But sometimes I believe healing is already there. We reach out and receive it, you know. If you're thirsty, I can hold out a glass of water. You say, well, thanks for the water, but if you don't take and drink it, you'll never get it. You have to receive it. And prayer is all part of that. We thank God. We worship God. We ask God for this. But when Jesus died on the cross, he healed us spiritually, physically, and I believe everything right then. You know, we receive salvation. We know how to reach out and receive that. But a lot of times we haven't learned how to reach out and receive healing, and I believe that's a very important part of this. But as long as we carry offenses in our life towards others, I know that was a big thing for me. You know, there was a point in time when that became so real to me. We had to sit down and made a list. I made a list. I just went down, okay, Lord, who are these people that I'm not forgiving? And I made a list of these people. And then in my heart, I prayed to God and forgave each one of them. It changed everything for us and in our life. And that's there are little things that can hinder us so much in our relationship with God and in our prayer life.
Mm-hmm.
That was another thing that came to my mind, but I've been over the years prayed for, like in the Lord's Prayer, we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, that we do come to realize to truly be, for him to be our Father is we have to be his son or daughter. And then we come to have to forgive us our debt. I had to come to ask him, teach me how to truly forgive everyone the way you want me to forgive them, to forgive them, and to that we can be forgiven, that we need to be, that we need his understanding of how to truly forgive.
And can I correct something I said earlier tonight? I've been looking here, and I found the documents I was looking for. And I mentioned that there was a great revival in Wales in 04 and 05, 1904, 1905. Martin Lloyd-Jones was very instrumental. I'm not a brain in the revival, but he was there. And actually, the revival where the two ladies prayed was not the Wales revival. It's the Hebrides revival that happened in about 1949 to 1952. And there were two elderly ladies in their 80s. And they prayed for years, and that led to the breaking loose of revival there in the Hebrides. I just wanted to correct that. I get the two mixed up sometimes.
You know, Joe, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Joe, you know, said that, you know, we get discouraged a lot of times in our prayer and experience that, and I do too. We pray for this and pray for that, and we don't get the answers, and, or things come our way, and we wonder why things come our way. Well, I think it's things that God put in our way because He wants it to go us, He wants us to go a different direction. But yet, in, at the end of every trial and tribulation, there's a crown of life, and that's always what I try to think of as when there is troubles and trials that we're going through. And tonight I heard a great message. I'm just in short here. Time's about up. But in Lamentations chapter 3, in verse 21, it says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." But the first 20 verses is all verses of discouragement, almost, that this man experienced. In verse 1, "I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light." That don't sound all too encouraging, but when you get all through, you get to verse 21, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." And verse 22, "It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because His compassion fail not." There are new every morning, great, they are new every morning, great is Thy faithfulness. It's not because of our faithfulness, because we fail Him. It's because of His faithfulness. "And the Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore will I hope in Him." It just goes on and on and on there. It just hit home with me when I heard it.
Amen. Wow. Very moving. I have a question. You know, most of us have probably heard of the prayer of Jabez, right? He was, his name, Jabez, actually meant pain. So his mom named him Pain. And it may have been because she had a lot of pain when she bore him, or it may be that she was just a very, going through a lot of hurt at the time. And so anyways, in the midst of First Chronicles, we get about three or four verses here where it talks about Jabez. And so let me just read it. First Chronicles 4, verse 9. "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him with sorrow." And Jabez, listen to this, guys. This is awesome. Okay, so before we even read it, is it okay if I pray and ask God to bless me and favor me and do great stuff through me? Is it wrong or is it right? Well, listen to what Jabez prayed. "And Jabez called on the God of Israel, and he said, oh, that thou would bless me indeed." First, he asked God to bless him. And then second, he said, "and enlarge my coast." And third, "that thine hand might be with me." And fourth, "that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it would not grieve me." And then it says, "and God granted him that which he requested." I love that. I mean, I don't know if you guys ever prayed, you know, "God bless me" or "God enlarge my coast." But, you know, Jabez did, "and God granted him that which he requested." And I think God is, you know, He cares about the need that we have, and it's okay to go there. I mean, if I were to pray, "God bless me today," it would not, I would hope that it would be because I want to be better and stand out of, amongst the crowd. I would hope that it would be because, "Lord, if you bless me and favor me, particularly if you fill me with your spirit and I overflow with your power, it will be to the benefit of the kingdom of God. It will be to your benefit if you do that." So, just curious what you guys think about the prayer of Jabez.
I've appreciated that much already, too. I've kind of forgotten about it late, but I've gone through that over the years.
Do you think it's wrong to pray and ask God to bless us financially, or to bless us with good health, or to bless our...
So we'd ask for those things.
Yeah. I would want to say that he has already blessed us with so much that we really should be praising and thanking him for everything he's given us. And so seeking more, you know, Deuteronomy 28 is a very interesting chapter, and I think it sheds light on who God is and, you know, and what he wants to do in our life. Because he lists the blessings, and then he talks about the curses and you know, that are there for those who do not receive him and those who do not follow his way. So that's my thought.
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't seek the money. Okay. We shouldn't seek the money just because of the money, but we should seek the blessings of God, which is much greater than money, but include a little money as we need it, you know. That's my thought.
So it really boils down to our motive, maybe, our attitude as to why we would pray that way. And I don't even know that I could pray that way, but I'm just curious, you know, what did he mean when he prayed that his coat or border would be enlarged? What was he asking? You know, would it be okay to pray that God would, in my case, you know, maybe open up the ministry, help us reach more people, more Bible studies, more, you know, whatever.
I guess I would not want to be praying for more of the things without having to give to his glory. I just had to think of Solomon. Solomon asked for what need to be asked for is wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of how to lead and how to take care of things. But if he gives us things and material possessions or whatever, and we don't have the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of how to take care of it, we won't take care of it properly. So we need first to ask for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and seek after that. Then he will provide the rest, according to the way Solomon prayed for and what he gave Solomon.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of interesting that the prayer of Jabez was so popular about 4 or 5 years ago, or maybe even 10 years ago, and it's sort of, you hardly even think about it nowadays. But yeah, he does pray specifically that the Lord would bless him. And it's just amazing that, you know, you can ask the Lord to bless you in a larger territory.
Yeah,
I'm not sure what happened, but, you know, my company, we sell a lot of books, and this is probably 10 or more years ago when the prayer of Jabez became very popular for some months. It might have been a year. I'm not sure how long. It was one of the best-selling books, but it died overnight. All of a sudden, it was over. And we probably still have books laid back in the warehouse that sell those.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Good discussion, huh? Paul, were you going to pray, spend a couple minutes in prayer yet? I don't know.
Yeah, we can just have a couple people close in prayer and pray about prayer. So any volunteers to close in prayer? Yeah,
I'll pray. I just felt like I did so much talking tonight. I love to hear somebody else, but I'll pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this hour of discussion. Oh, how we depend upon you for everything in life. We're so grateful tonight. We're so grateful, so thankful for how you've blessed us and how you have called us out of darkness and given us everlasting life. And Lord, when we start to think about what you've done through us since we've become Christians, it causes us to marvel. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for leading us and comforting us and for speaking on our behalf. And thank you for sending the angels to minister to us. And Lord, as we go our ways, I pray that you would just continue to bless and favor each one of us, not for our sake, but for the sake of the kingdom, that greater things would happen and bigger things would happen than ever before, and that God, that people around us would look at those things and marvel at you and your greatness. And we pray these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning and some dark and cold, and there is a spirit.